Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
The SATs, though, now have brand new rules, and I'd love to know what they are and how that might help children. And then testing our public schools are increasing, and I don't know how much that's going to do. But I'm going to bring my guest. He's been on my program before, and he's going to be joining us once again. He grew up in the Bronx on the Grand Concourse, and he is the president and he is the founder of ByYourSideTutoring.org. He worked at Pelham Prep Academy and Christopher Columbus High School, Frederick Douglass Academy, the Third, Celia Cruz Academy for Music, teaching in the Professors HS and International School for Liberal Arts in Walton High School. And guess what? He's been doing this all since he was 17 years old. He's now focusing on furthering his education and helping others reach their goals through education. Jonathan has found himself his place in education. Jonathan Beringer, and he is on my phone line. Jonathan, welcome back to the Orange News Talk Show.
Hey, Andrew, I'm delighted and glad once again to be back on. Thank you for the invitation.
Jonathan, last time we spoke, you had such a great conversation. And I remember that one story you told me about that child and his parent. And again, me and my former social ambassador at the time were just inspired that such a young kid like you has done so many things, and where my radio career goes and where your educational career goes, you're going to be principal, I'm going to be on air in a much bigger place, and you're always going to be invited on.
Definitely, man. I really appreciate it. And once again, I'm glad to be back on. And just a few minutes ago, I was actually talking about you and how you're doing your thing, and you know, I'm out here doing my thing, and we're just trying to go forward with, pursuing our dreams and how important that is, and I'm just glad to be back here.
And it's amazing, like myself, you decided, well, I want to do tutoring, but why should I go to someone who has a tutoring program? How about I make my own and do it my way that I think it's right for these young peers in the New York City area? And that's what you've done. Now, the last time we spoke, we were on a Blog Talk Radio. Now we have a much larger audience and some new faces. You're the president of By Your Side Tutoring. We guarantee to be by your side. Can you share with my audience a little bit about how you found By Your Side Tutoring and what you guys do?
Sure, definitely. Basically, I've encountered so many parents coming to me. I'm talking about back when I was in high school. I would have parents talk to me, listen, could you help me with my son? They're struggling in math, they're struggling in reading, and I would do little side jobs here and there, just tutoring family, friends, and things of that sort and of that nature. And I realized that one of the main reasons why the parents were seeking assistance because they felt, in a sense, abandoned from the teachers. They felt disconnected from the schools. They felt like they didn't have the support from the schools. So back in 2009, both myself and my business partner, we were both aspiring educators in the education, in college and pursuing education. And we just realized that parents feel that the teachers are not by their side. So parents feel abandoned. So that's where we came up with the idea of starting this company, to show parents that we're working by their side, to show students that, you know, when they feel like their parent is against them, when they feel like the teachers are against them, to show them that we're working by their side. And, we even want to show the teachers that we're working by their side to, help their students progress in whatever material area, subject that it is. And so in 2009, me and my business partner, an education major, we put our heads together and we said, we need to do something about this. And we started the company in 2009, and here we are just about 5 years later and, progressing, seeing so much increase in the amount of parents that we're serving and students that we're serving, and just being able to be that extension, to them, to show them that we're by their side. And it's been a great it's been great, and we have definitely seen progression in the company. We are definitely serving more students now than since last time we spoke last year. And so, you know, that's our mission, to show parents that we're working by their side. And we try to connect with parents, we want to connect with the students, and with the schools. And that's something we've focused on a little bit more this year, Andrew. We started building more connections with the schools. We're now speaking with teachers, getting much more feedback from the teachers than before. And now we're also connecting with parent coordinators from different elementary schools, having them on board as well, because they too understand that parents need to feel connected to their child's school. And so we're just there bridging that gap.
We here on the program want to congratulate you on 5 years. That really is a extraordinary number, because one thing I always told members when I was in college, and I still tell peers and coworkers around me, the hardest thing to do in life is start something. When I said I'm going to start this radio program August 31st, 2012, it's pretty hard. I say I want to do a lot of things. It becomes phases. It never happens. From what I did and from even what you did, you know what? I don't like how the status quo is being made up. I want to change that. And what you just shared with me, I want to ask you another question. And that's, why do you believe the parents are, why do you think that the parents think the schools and the teachers aren't on their side? They're not supporting their children.
You know, there are some schools who, for the obvious reasons we understand, especially in certain communities, are underfunded. You know, they don't have the funding that some other schools have. Not all schools have good after-school programs. Another dilemma is that you have one teacher serving, in some classrooms, 30 students. And so when parents see that their child gets home and when the parent asks, what have you learned? And the student says, oh, I didn't learn anything because the teacher was focusing on the other students. And I'm not saying that to blame the teachers because, you know, we have some really good teachers in the educational system, and I'm sure they're trying their hardest. But when you have a ratio of one teacher per 30 students, you know, you really need to ask yourself, who's going to be learning here, or how effective is that learning going to come across to the student? You know, so, and sometimes I have just recently this year, I was speaking with a guidance counselor, and she was telling me that they have cut funding for parent coordinators in the middle grades, in the middle schools, and especially in the high schools. Many schools do not have that parent coordinator that makes the connection to the parents. So parents, especially in high school and the middle grades, are feeling disconnected. Now, there are still a lot of parent coordinators working with the elementary schools, but even yet so, parents still feel abandoned. And sometimes it can be a language barrier. Though we do know that there are many bilingual teachers, and that's also a push for teachers, and that recruitment is happening nowadays for bilingual teachers to meet the needs of the parents that, you know, may not understand the writing that the parent sends home, that the teacher sends home with the student, may not understand the written document or report, and they need to be able to speak with a bilingual teacher. So we see that's going forward. Building the connection between bilingual teachers and bilingual parents, I do believe that is going forward, and that is also bridging the gap. But we still see this dilemma where parents don't feel the connection because of budget cuts when it comes to parent coordinators, especially in the middle and high school grades.
Who do you think we should blame for these budget cuts? Because when you have a conversation like this, especially in our education system here in New York State, New York City, you can blame a whole lot of people. You can blame Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York. You can blame the state Senate. You could blame Mayor Bloomberg, former mayor. You can blame current mayor, Mayor de Blasio. You could even blame the president of the United States or the federal government. Who is deciding on these budget cuts?
You know, that as you just said, we place blame left and right. You know, and it's unfortunate, but let me highlight, before we get into that, let me just highlight what de Blasio, our current mayor right now, is promoting, this universal preschool and pre-K. I would just want to take a second to applaud his work and his efforts in advocating that. So that's definitely going to help us out. That's definitely going to be a push towards the right direction. What has brought us into the wrong direction when it comes to all these budget cuts? You know, I don't want to put my finger on any one or any, you know, left or right type of side type of thing. But, you know, what it comes down to is the parents, is we the people, if I may, we the people have to voice. We have voice, and we have that for a reason. And what I believe is that we need to voice, our opinions. We need to voice and get ourselves out there. We need the parents marching the same way that right now, on the other hand, current mayor is trying to, you know, messing with the charter schools and that whole fight that's happening. And I don't want to get too much into this, but the whole fight that's happening with the charter schools, we see parents standing in the gap. We see parents going out to Albany. We see parents going out to, you know, to the state, to the Senate, letting them know we need our charter schools. So that's the voice that is needed in the whole political arena to get, you know, these budget cuts to not be cut. You understand what I'm saying? And I think it's voice. I don't want to blame parents as a whole, but I think we can do more when it comes to voicing what we really need. And we need better education funding. We need more funding in these underprivileged schools. We need more funding.
Of course we do, because the problem is, if we're not giving enough funding, that then lacks resources, more education on our students, gets them out of these bad neighborhoods, gets them to focus on a future, maybe start their own company, maybe work for a company and boost their status and brings money to the economy. It's called capitalism. It's called democracy. And when we're not actually doing democracy, it's going to be a big problem. We are speaking with Jonathan Berenger. He is the president and founder, co-founder of By Your Side Tutoring. Check it out, byyoursidetutoring.org. It really shows, Jonathan, that we can talk about a ton of different topics. We could talk about the charter school fight. We could talk about budget cuts. We can talk about after-school programs. We can talk about the universal pre-K program of Mayor de Blasio in New York and if other states should follow. We can talk about this, but I really want to focus on SATs. SATs, the test I don't like. And there's a lot of new rules that are now coming into SATs. But one of the questions I have is, do you believe that the SAT is effective? Do you believe that the SAT should exist in our education system?
Let me illustrate that with this very brief illustration. We have a professor, we have a teacher, and we have some students, and I'll describe these students as animals. And we have a monkey, we have a goldfish, we have a zebra, let's throw in a hippopotamus, and let's throw in a lion, okay? And now the teacher tells his students, and he says, okay, the test that will determine whether you continue on to further your education in the next level will be for you to climb this tree. And this, my friend, is the dilemma that we see with the SATs. We see that, going back to this illustration, the only one that will pass this test is the monkey who can climb the tree. Perhaps maybe the lion, if you know, it claws its way up. You know, I think I've seen that on National Geographic. But obviously, the goldfish is unable to climb the tree, so unable to pass the test. Obviously, we have a hippopotamus that cannot climb the tree, that will not pass the test. Obviously, we have, you know, a zebra and a giraffe, I also mentioned, that cannot climb the tree. So this is the dilemma we face. And I do not believe that SAT is what determines the mental capacity or ability of an individual to think and to have higher order thinking and to to then access higher education. So I there's definitely a dilemma. There's definitely so much controversy, even to the point where the president of College Board of that sponsors the SAT, the president himself, David Coleman, himself criticized recently, reported to the New York Times, criticized his own tests, his own exam, the SATs, saying that they were not connected. They've fallen away from being connected to what students actually learn in a high school, and even more so, what students will need to learn when they get to college. So there's definitely a dilemma. Is it effective in determining you know, whether someone should get into college. Well, let me go back to what David Coleman himself said. He said that grades, high school grades, determine much more about the student. It gives us more insight in a student's ability. I think grades shows a little bit more about perseverance. That's a skill that's needed in life. It shows a little bit more of, you know, I've completed the task that I've had to complete throughout my 4 years, not just in 4 hours. You know, so I believe there are better measurements than the SAT.
Oh, I think they are also. I think it's outrageous that we spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to prepare how to take this format and not actually what content is in it. I'm not learning vocabulary words. I'm not learning anything about math or reading. I'm learning what to circle more, A, B, C, or D. Here are some of the changes that College Board is now going to make starting in 2016. The essay section, that pointless writing section, that, by the way, I can't just write. I can't write neatly. So probably they couldn't even read my handwriting. That's going to be optional. I probably would have opted out. The SAT scoring will turn back to a 1600-point scale, and vocabulary questions will shift away from obscure words in favor of words that are widely used in college and career. But these rules don't do anything. The point we're trying to make, Jonathan, is the test doesn't work. It's a complete waste of money. The money that we spend on SATs, we can probably put more money into the classrooms, we can get more teachers, we can build more classrooms, like what you just said, instead of 30 kids that, by the way, I was in a class with 43 here in Staten Island, New York, back in high school 6 years ago. We can split up these rooms, we can bring textbooks, bring more technology, more tablets, because that's the future in companies and at home. I think this is a waste of money. And we see more and more colleges moving away from SATs. And like what you just said, moving to high school grades. And what I said during the first segment of this program, they are looking at what teachers have recommended and their cover letters. I think that's correct.
We definitely see that happening more and more where colleges are disregarding the examination grades of the SATs, and they're looking more into the recommendation letters. That's definitely a push that I'm seeing more. They're looking into many high school seniors are now working on their resumes more deeper in resume building, in the cover letters, in the work experience preparation for the work life. We're seeing that happening in senior year to then prepare them to get into college. And we are also seeing more interviews being done on behalf of the colleges to get to know the student. And so there is a shift in focus when it comes to that. And there's also the shift where colleges are now creating their own mini exams, for the students to then get in, and that then is based on what the college will be teaching. So that exam is exactly what they're going to be learning in the college, and that exam is to let the college know where to place them. If they fail the exam or score poorly on the exam, they'll be placed in a remedial class where they will get to. It's a non-credited class where they would then have to pass that class and then order to go into the actual mathematics that will be credited. So we're seeing a greater shift and push in those exams on behalf of the colleges, the entrance exams on behalf of the colleges, especially that's already in existence for many years now in the CUNY system. But we're seeing other colleges also take steps forward in redesigning their college entrance exam to really get a better understanding of where the student is at. And that will then help them shift the student into the college life, the college academic life.
I don't think my kids will see SATs. I don't think they will. I think the voice will be found and will realize that it doesn't work. The only problem is, and you know this and I know it, we live in a society where everything is a house of cards. You build that house. If you take away one card, everything falls down. If you take away these SATs, jobs are lost. Someone's going to lose money. It's going to be more budget cuts, a political excuse. It's going to be more corrupted politicians coming in to take advantage of these fallen SATs because there's some type of group who believes in it. And then we're going to be back here again some other time talking about it. Jonathan Berenger, president of by your side tutoring. Always a great conversation with you. Where can my audience contact you? Want to, you know, join your organization, join your business, and take their child to your services today?
All right, they can definitely find us on the web, where, you know, buyersidetutoring.org. All the contact information is there. And let me just also add that over spring break, once we get back from spring break, we will be having a redesigned website. So I'm happy to announce that, that we'll be updating our website. And, you know, so that's buyersidetutoring.org. But you can also reach me directly at info@buyersidetutoring.org. And I'll also include the office number. The office number is 347-448-BYST. Okay, so that's 347-448-2978.
There you go. Hope you wrote that down. And I want you to call up Jonathan, and I think your child would benefit from it. Jonathan, thanks for coming on the O'Andrew News Talk Show. Let's speak again soon, okay?
Definitely, Andrew. Thank you so much for the invitation.
No problem. Jonathan Behringer.